Revelation chapter number 15, and I'm going to start in verse number 1. He says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." So, with this right here, this is commenting, chapter 15 is going to be commenting on this reaping of the earth that we've just been talking about in chapter 14. So it's going to go in detail. So chapter 15 is going to detail things going on in heaven, and chapter 16 is going to detail things that are going on the earth. So you got that. Then I know this little rabbit just popped out, but it says it's filled up the wrath of God. So this is going to fulfill the wrath of God. You're going to be seeing this thing, and the last thing that fills it up is going to be detailed. But I want to remind you, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "For we are not appointed under wrath." You get more and more of this teaching, especially these people that listen to YouTube. If they know that somebody's out there, they can email and ask questions or something. They'll say, "Well, I saw so-and-so. He teaches that we're going through the wrath." The wrath of God has nothing to do with the church, which is the body of Christ. That has nothing to do with us. We are saved from wrath, saved from everything. All that stuff is taken care of when you've trusted the gospel for your salvation. That's done. This has to do with the time of Jacob's trouble, and the world's going to take part of it at that time. The world's going to be, but it's directly aimed at Israel, and it's going to be something that's a purification process for God's people. And so that wrath of God has a purpose, and we're not appointed to that. So I like to show you all that. Another thing, you're going to see there in chapter 15, it's a fulfillment of the blessings and curses that's listed in Deuteronomy chapters 27 to 28. And also, you got the blessings for the people that believe, and then you got the cursings for the unbelievers mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 27. So let me just go ahead and go over some of this. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy 27. You got to remember, these is so much in the law, so much prophecy there, and so many things that are directed toward Israel, because it has to do with their law covenant and him finishing out the 70 weeks that would determine upon his people Israel. So all this Bible, you have to see, most of the Bible is aimed at Jews, and it's a Jewish book. The Bible even says the oracles of God were given to the Jew, and then the Gentiles get to get in on it, because here we are, had no covenants, no promises, and because of what was revealed to the Apostle Paul, we realize, we trust the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, and we get to be part of the body of Christ. That's amazing. Why? Because we had all this stuff right here when he mangled. We're reading the law and stuff like that. And then here we are. We go from a nobody to somebody in his body. That's amazing right there. We go from not having any land promises or anything like that, and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden we got spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So when you're reading Deuteronomy chapter 27, watch this. Look at verse number 26. Because all this mention, all these blessings, all these cursings. Verse 26 says, "Cursed be he that confirmeth." Man, that's another rabbit. You see that word confirmeth?
Amen.
You know over there in Daniel where it said the Antichrist shall confirm the covenant with the people? It didn't say he's going to make a covenant. It said he's going to confirm it. See, he's going to be saying he's a Christ. He's the Christ. And so you got to understand, you got all this stuff these people trying to, that's like all this talk about the Abraham Accords and all this stuff. Well, I'll say this right here. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. We can say this. The system is trying to be set up. He's always trying to get himself set up so that when the body of Christ is gone, He can set His system up. That's like all these riches that are being amassed right now, and all this transfer of wealth and this money laundering that's going on. You say, what's the purpose of all that? The devil is getting his coffers loaded, so to speak, so that when his time is there, he is going to be so rich and so powerful because he's look, the love of money is the root of all evil. Nobody loves money more than the devil does. The love of money runs right to the devil. And he's getting everything set up so that when the body of Christ is gone, he's going to have everything set up so he can run his system, and he's going to get up there and confirm a covenant. And they're going to think, well, man, here he's setting all this stuff up. He's got a sacrificial system. This has got to be the Christ. Wrong Christ. It's the Antichrist. So you got something going on. Israel was supposed to keep the law. The only problem was they couldn't keep it sinless. So how are they going to get in on blessings and cursings? Watch, it says, confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. So they're in a covenant with God. So what do they do? You get Hebrews reorienting them on this side of the cross that amends Leviticus. And guess what? Jesus Christ, it goes, He's better than angels, better than Moses, better than all this stuff. And you know what? How can they get the blessings? Because once they're in Jesus Christ, you know what? He kept the law perfect for them. Now the blessings that come across with the law and everything can apply to them. See, all that stuff, anything good that anybody gets anywhere is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross work hinges on so much. I mean, look, you could preach the riches of the glory of the cross from now to no telling when, because it's so much attached to it. They could not do it. And they say, okay, you're real Messiah, the one who has already came and died for you. He's done all that, and all that stuff's connected with Him. So you see these blessings and cursings. Okay, so the believers can get in on the blessings because of their true Messiah. But the unbelievers, when we read down later on, they're going to get in on the cursings. So He said, okay, well, He's going to separate believers from unbelievers. So when you get back to the book of Revelation, and now that we know this, you're reading through here, and it says, all right, in verse number 2, and I saw as it were, that's a very important phrase for this thing right here, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark. See, the beast, the image, the mark, all these things are connected together. And over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Man, there's a lot in that, isn't it? Yeah. But here they are standing here, and they've gotten the victory over it. And what gets me is, it talks about they've gotten the victory. You remember earlier we had read back in the book of Revelation where the Antichrist was able to overcome them back in Revelation 11:7. Well, guess what? That's just physically. Because the Lord ultimately, whenever they do what God says, and they're going to be killed, they're going to be martyred. But guess what? They're going to get the victory in the Lord. Now, this is what's so interesting here. They get martyred in the tribulation, and they get the victory over here in Revelation 15. And what gets me is they get the victory through death. How the Lord Jesus Christ become a victor? Death. Well, you know what? There's an application for us. Why? How are we going to get the victory? Death. Your old man has to die. You know what getting saved does? It kills the old man. And that old man dies. So you know what serving the flesh and serving sin is? It's just serving a dead corpse. That's why it's all wood, hay, and stubble. Why? It's like you're going through the motions and nothing counts. Wood, hay, and stubble burns up. Why? Because anything that we don't do that's right with the Lord Jesus Christ, to the doctrine He's revealed there, is serving the old man. Why? Because the old man wants things that don't apply to him. That's like, wouldn't it be nice to go over here and get some of this stuff that's for Israel, not for us? I've told y'all 100 times probably about most of my life, I've always wanted to be able to go whip a lion. That don't have nothing to do with me. That's not in any promises. That so what it is flesh So you have to let the old man die and say, look, I'm going to let the old man die and believe what God wants me to believe and apply what He wants me to apply to my life. Okay? So they get the victory. But now I want you to see this thing about it as it were. Look at Exodus 24. Exodus 24. And as I teach this right here, I gotta have a little prelude to this. The more you study the Bible, the more it'll unfit you for a lot of tradition. I heard B.R. Lakin one time say that the more he read his Bible, the more he realized reading your Bible unfits you for a lot of preaching. There's been a lot of preaching that made a sermon, but it wasn't good doctrine.
Yeah.
Now, here's something that makes the brethren mad, but it is what it is. A lot of people teach, well, we don't teach replacement theology. And so they say, well, we don't teach that the church replaced Israel. They may not in a few points, but in a lot of points they do.
Yeah.
So here's what happens. I was reading in Corinthians, and now that we got little Brian running around, we got a little baby, you know, and you know what Corinthians talks about, babes. And I've always looked at that as a babe in Christ being somebody who was fresh born. And I guess that's one application. But at the same time, he's talking to Corinthians, and he said, I'm having to speak to you. And that verse in there says, as unto babes. They should have been growing, and they were acting like babies. So you know what babies do now that we got one? I can kind of see some more light on that text. Babies are bad about taking things that don't belong to them. Babies are bad about getting things up off the floor. Man, they'll eat a bug if you don't get it for them. You have to take it out of the mouth. I mean, a baby, they don't know no different. They'll get up and they'll see a worm and just, oh, there's something good. And just, but you know, you have to constantly say, don't eat that. So spiritually speaking, you know what, babe, you know what them Corinthians were doing? Taking things that didn't apply to them.
That's right.
See, you know, and here's another thing about a babe. You can always tell it. Whenever you take something from them, and even though it was something that's going to harm them, something that didn't belong to them, they get mad at you whenever you do it.
Yeah.
You know what's wrong with a lot of Baptists? I can say things like that. Why? Because people love tradition.
Yeah.
So you just kick their eye on them and they get mad. So, you know, all these people that's raised up and I believe this and I believe this and I believe this, we get to reading the Bible, and you know how you can test whether you got an eye on your heart or something. If the Bible says one thing and tradition says another, you're going to have to, there's that cross work. God's will is going this way, my will is going horizontal. Which way am I going to take, the vertical way, or am I going to take the horizontal way? And so what happens is you're constantly having to go through that Bible, and there's a constantly, you have, it's a repentance that's going on. You're constantly having to change your mind, saying, okay, I was wrong about that. I'm about to go on. I was wrong about that. I'm about to believe God. I was wrong about that. That's that repentance and faith. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Repentance is I'm having to change my mind of what that old junk is. And I'm going to have to, in faith, walk in truth. That's like salvation. Repentance and faith. You know what the repentance is? I'm having to change my mind about what I believed about Jesus Christ. You know, because you got a whole world teaching there's all kind of ways to heaven. Then you got to operate in faith and say, okay, I'm placing my faith and trust in only the gospel. Well, when you read things in the Bible, you have to check the verses and say, okay, I know that my tradition says this, but here's what the Word says. So you take the verses and you say, this scripture says this and this says this in its context, and put them together and let the Bible tell you what it is. Okay, so you get the little stuff like this, and I'm having more fun now that I've realized there's so much here. If I would just let the Bible speak for it, I don't have to have so-and-so's commentary and this, that, and the other. You can just let the Bible and have more fun. I'm not saying don't have... I've got commentary. They're good. But you better check all of them with the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
Here's what happens with preachers. Preacher gets preaching, we listen to one of the sermons or something. This is what they do to you. I like that message, but you didn't teach that the way so-and-so's commentary says.
Yeah.
I don't care what his commentary says. His commentary is not the Bible.
That's right.
Or so-and-so taught it so-and-so. I don't care. I don't care what so-and-so says. If the Bible says one thing and your favorite preacher says another, we're supposed to take the Bible over then. And you know what happens? Then it starts becoming fun, and the Bible becomes more of an open book to you, and say, what did it say about this? So you get to Exodus 24 and look at verse number 10. And it says, and they saw the God of Israel. So connecting this with Israel, watch this. And there was under his feet, watch this phrase, as it were a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, watch this, the body of heaven in its clearness. So here's this. You got these what's called water sapphires, like was used by Vikings for navigation on cloudy days. They're blue. Okay, they can either, those water sapphires are blue or they're green, and that's why you get this body of heaven up there and that pavework, and you got that crystal sea up there in heaven. All right, and God's throne's up there in the New Jerusalem. Okay, so you got this. This is so neat. All right, so you remember one place over in Revelation where it talked about that that rainbow was a circle and it said it was green. Well, that's connected with the reflections and things that's going on up there with the Lord on His throne. And you got that paved work. Okay, now let's see something about New Jerusalem. Look at Revelation 21. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You got all these, you got this foundation up there where God's throne is. And now you've got somebody after they've gotten the victory, and you got the God of Israel, and here's the children of Israel being with the God of Israel where they're supposed to be at. And so here's the New Jerusalem. And man, so many rabbits, I ain't preached to y'all in a while. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. What was that city? That's his, according to the Bible, it's New Jerusalem. And one of these days, the Bible says that that Jerusalem is going to come down and sit down over the Jerusalem, and it's going to be connected there. And guess what? God's going to, the earth and everything's going to center right here. That's why the devil wants earth so bad. All right, so it's going to center, and he's going to run everything as out in eternity, as things grow, because he said he created the heavens to be inhabited. Okay, so one of these days, as time goes on and you go out into the age of ages, all that stuff's going to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. The increase of his government, there should be no end. And he's going to run everything from right there. And guess what's going to happen? The Bible says that you got heavenly places up there. So here we are, we're wanting to just limit ourselves to a mansion. Because we make the song books our doctrinal statement. That's not what... Look, we love those songs. Look, I'm not saying take the songs, I'm like anybody else. But the songs is not the Bible. You've got more than... I mean, like I said, I'm not trying to sound arrogant. But we want to just say, I got a mansion over there. But you got more than a mansion. You got the heavenly places out there. And you're going to serve Him out there in glory. And He's going to tell you what to do way out there. And all those things. And your sphere is not limited to right here. That has to do with Israel and the earth. They're earthly people. You're a heavenly people and you got more than that. So don't limit yourself and say, well, you know, I'm getting over here and I don't want to take what's Israel and I don't know what we've got. We don't have their covenants and promises. Why? Because you're connected to Jesus Christ and you got more. You got things out there in glory that's way more than what you could ever think. Now, I know we say these things are revealed by the Scriptures, but let me tell you something. That Bible tells you in Ephesians 2:7 that in the ages to come, He's going to still be showing you things. People are still going to be just marveling over the things that's out there that you cannot even imagine in these earthly bodies. That's going to keep increasing and increasing and increasing. Why? Because look, you're going to have to have a heavenly mind to comprehend it. You imagine whenever they discovered America, and here's these... Man, rabbits everywhere. Look, it didn't start with just Columbus, man. Look, America, that's just history. Man, Lord help my mind. But, all right, so you imagine here they discover America and they come up here and they say, oh, man, this is wonderful. They just get up here to the shore and they say, oh, ain't this a blessing? They get discovered a little bit more, and there's a little bit more, and a little bit more. And before long, here's this one man down through here. Y'all, if you ever read about Ruby Falls, this guy's crawling through these crevices, these cracks. And man, he discovers Ruby Falls, and you get down in that. Now, it just keeps going out and out, and more and more discoveries as time goes on. That's kind of how it's going to be in eternity. You can only handle so much at a time. You're going to get up there and say, oh, this beach is wonderful. And the Lord just laughs. Yeah, it is. And you get out there a little bit more and a little bit more. It's, oh, wow, Lord, isn't this one? And the Lord just, you wait till you get on down from here and this gets developed out here and more people. And man, as that thing increases, look, it just, there shall be no end. Okay, well, you get a start right here. And here they are, they're just getting a victory and they're just getting a start of it. And that thing says right here in Revelation 21, it says, watch this. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass.
Right, how about that?
Here they are standing up there, and you remember that thing said, like unto glass. And it talks about the paved work that's describing that city. And they're up there, and if you'll run the word throne, that thing about throne all through there, that throne is connected to where God is in that city. So here they are, they're protected. While all that stuff's going on, they're protected, surrounded by the Lord, or surrounding the Lord, I guess I should say. But what I'm showing you is there's a whole lot more going on in that text than what a mere man such as myself can even explain. Why? Because when you're talking about heavenly things and you're talking about the Lord and stuff like that, there's so much there that the more I've read the book of Revelation, studying these things, right, it forces you to realize something. You can touch on it a little bit, but there's way more than a mere man can explain. Why? Because this book is infinite. But another thing it does too is it forces you to say, look, this is what the Bible says, even though tradition says what it says. Then the more you have to stand up here and teach it, you have to go with what the book says. Before long, you have to start doing spiritual gymnastics to try to explain it. And the only way to explain it is to give you the verses and say, look, that's about all I can do with it. I know it's going to be beautiful. I know it's paved work. And I know it's there up there. And I know God's got more for us than we can ever imagine. But some of this stuff is just... It's hard to comprehend as I put myself in that text. Now, he says this over that glass. Now, here's another thing. Like I said, y'all forgive me this morning. But see, what you got to realize is these verses right here teach you that the Lord's the king of the mountain, so to speak. And you got the sides of the north, and that's describing heaven. That's describing the universe. And what you have is... Job says the face of the deep is frozen, and you got a sea of glass up there, and it's called that because at the top of that body of water, it's frozen. And why is it like that? Because from what I understand, and like I said, this is stuff, man, and you get to looking at this stuff in the Bible, it's complex, but it's neat. Satan fell. To put it simply as I can put it, and what happened was, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Didn't say the heavens. Everything was together. So you know what God did? Because of sin, and the heavens were unclean in His sight, guess what had to happen? Now that all this stuff was here, and all of it was together, God had to put a firmament in between these things. So what God, he said, He separated the waters from the waters. So He separated waters here and waters here, and He froze the top of this thing where there's only an entrance into the third heaven by the door. And the only way you can get there is by God allowing you to get there. Now, He still has a way of communication, just like we can communicate with people through cell phones and stuff like that. Well, God's got a way of communication where that all things have to come up and present themselves every so often. We read about that. But see, earth is God's footstool right now. So that's why you got verses like this. So you got the first heaven. That's Satan's world system. Satan wants to run the earth because guess what happened? That's initially where he knows that God is going to rule there. So he knows if he can have the earth or if he can make anything in the Bible not come to pass, he could go over God. And guess what happened? He wants to rule this thing. So it's all about King of the Mountain. But guess what happened at the cross? Everything, the Lord defeated Satan and all the principalities and all the power. He just hadn't taken the thing over yet. That's like you got the types in the Bible. Saul was he was anointed king. But you know what happened? After he did wrong there, the Lord said, "All right, this thing is stripped from you. I'm going to give it to somebody else." He gave it to David, but David didn't take the thing over till years and years later. So what you have is right now, the victory's already been won at the cross, but later on, the Lord's going to take it from the devil, but it's just going to be later on. But what you have is these verses right here describe what's going on in the universe, but you know what God's ultimately going to do? Ultimately, with everything said and done, the Lord is going to start that thing back over, and He's going to put His kingdom back on, just like they're supposed to pray in Matthew 6. He's going to put the kingdom of God back down on the kingdom of heaven, and the king of both kingdoms will be ruling and reigning right there, and the thing will just grow and grow and grow all out. He'll do what He said He was going to do. He created everything not to be a void but to be inhabited, and it's just going to grow out throughout eternity. So that's what you have there, but that's part of that, and that's why those waters are there. And so what you have is talking about that crystal sea and the paved work, all that's describing that face of the deep that's frozen up there. And so all that's in the Bible, and it's amazing how those things are so neat. So the Bible's more than just a regular book. It's describing everything that all the scientists question, all the scientists think they know. It's all described right here. If you read any of Einstein's work, not to say he was the smartest man out there, he's got some weird stuff. But anyway, he was guessing that the universe was shaped like a pyramid. And he's even got charts up there where he was trying to describe that thing. Now you imagine a guy that had that intellect, if he had gotten saved, and if he could have put that mental capacity there to some of these things, ain't no telling what kind of light God give you. But I'm gonna tell you something, the natural man receives not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. There are people who are base as far as intellect goes, and God can reveal to them things out of His Word that the scientists can't comprehend. I don't care how smart they are. Why? Because it takes the Spirit of God. These are spiritual things. When you get out there in those heavenlies, that's spiritual things. So only the Bible. What's amazing is God can take somebody so simple and show them things out of the Bible, and all that stuff just answers questions scientists just wish that they could understand. You take some of these guys and they get to trying to understand these pyramids and stuff like that. What if they had gotten the Bible and gotten there and got the answers they needed from the Bible? All that stuff right there in the Bible. They wonder about, you know, a lot of these guys believe that mankind is getting better and better. No, they are not. No, they're not. They were so smart back then, man. Look, I've got books. Some of these, my favorite books are 1800s and back and stuff like that. When you listen to that or read those guys describing things that go on stuff, you better be concentrating. Because, man, they can describe and give you word pictures and describe all those things. Why? Because they use their mind. Now we've got an accumulation of knowledge, and we're smart because so much knowledge has accumulated and we've got so much access to it. But at the same time, as far as intellectuals, they knew how to build things and they knew how to do things. And man, I'll tell you something, smart. So we need the Word of God. Now, let me jump into this. Sorry about all the rabbits, but man, I'm just glad to be teaching with y'all this morning. So that sea of glass having the harps of God. Now here they are, they're singing the song, and verse number 3 says, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God." And it says, and the song of the Lamb saying, "Great and marvelous." This is what they're saying in the song. I'm sure the song is put up and arranged in such a way where it sounds like a wonderful song. But this is what they say in the song. "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Now, one reason why they sing the song of Moses is because whenever in Exodus 15, and I think it is. I'm looking in my margin there. I think it is verse 2. That song of Moses starts singing. And why? Because they were delivered from Pharaoh, a type of Antichrist. And they were in bondage in Egypt. And you know what Jerusalem's going to be called according to Ezekiel? Sodom and Egypt. In that day, in the day of the wrath of God, that's what it's called, Sodom and Egypt. bondage to extreme wickedness, Sodom, and in Egypt, bondage, hard bondage. And that's what it's going to be poor, it's going to be rich or poor, bond or free. They're in bond service. That's like slavery. People talk about the end in slavery and stuff like that. There's more slaves now than there's ever been. You read literature on slavery in other countries, especially the slave trafficking that goes on in our nation. There's more slaves now. Where's all the upcry for that, or outcry for that? Well, if people think they can get some money somewhere, they'll cry out for something. But I'm going to tell you something. If they don't think no money's in it, they don't have anything to do with it. There's people right now get kidnapped and everything else, and nobody says nothing about it. Walk right by them things, and nobody ever thinks anything about it. You know, they have those posters up there, missing. People walk by and never even think a thing about it. Why? Because if they're not going to make any money off of it, they don't care. So it has to be personal to you. But what I'm saying is, they're singing this song, and of the Lamb. What would the Lamb do? The Lamb delivers. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Why are they even there? Because of the Lamb. That's why they've gotten a victory. Okay? So, it says in that song, great and marvelous. Now, what's that have to do with? That's deliverance from captivity. That great and marvelous are thy works. All right? So, let me show you the first thing on that. Isaiah 49:25. And I've chased so many rabbits this morning, I done got my own self tired. but man, sometimes I like them rabbits, I guess. But you need to see something about this song. We'll break the thing down and see. Great and marvelous. Okay, Isaiah 49, verse number 25. I'll start in verse number 24 for context. It says, "Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered?" You better believe it. The prey taken. Look, who's the prey? The lion. The devil is going around roaring as a lion. Okay? It says, "But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children." Now, you guess what happens right there? That, why are they singing that song? Because of this right here. The prey is taken from the captive. The prey is taken from the lion. They're delivered. And that's what that thing is having to do with. Their captives, see, are delivered. Okay? Now that's been prophesied, and that shows you one thing they're singing that song. Now here's another thing. It says they sang the song saying, "Great marvelous are thy works." Okay? What's the deal with that right there? Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. What's the works? Why? See the song. See, the song had to do with captivity, saving from captivity. That song of Moses, they were captives in Egypt. So they're saved from that captivity, and that was a picture of the tribulation. Then you get over there to the works. Now here's the song of the Lamb. What was the works that the Lamb did? That has to do with the cross. Look at John chapter 4 and verse number 34. It says, John 4 verse 34. I turned wrong. Alright, it says, "Jesus saith unto them," verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." What did the Lord Jesus Christ say on the cross in John 19:30? "It is finished." Great and marvelous are thy works. Well, here they got the blessings and the cursings, and the earth is being reaped over there, and Deuteronomy is describing the believers are getting the blessings. Why? Because they're delivered, song of Moses. Then they're getting the blessings. Why? Because they're singing the song of the Lamb. Why are they getting that? Because of what He did on the cross. Ain't that a blessing? That's something to sing about. You know what we sing about? We sing because we've been delivered. If it wasn't for what Jesus Christ did on the cross, I wouldn't have anything to sing about anyway. You know what? Any singing that's worth anything, all those songs that's in that hymn book has to do with the work of Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. Why? Because anything we have is because He said it's finished. Brother Tommy, good to see you. We'll close out there with bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ and start the next service. Brother